Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington this Monday morning. As always, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined as always by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. That's the foursome. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines, our pal Will Brinson from CBS Sports. Will Brinson, by the way, had a mock draft 11 days ago, I think, with Tua going to the Redskins number Ooh. Two. What's up, Will?
Look at that. Cool.
nothing much, guys. Just woke up in the middle of the night, power had been knocked out, and now the tornadoes are descending upon North Carolina.
So it's fun, end of days, Will. End of days type scenario there.
Were
in
there tornadoes?
The Raleigh area.
Were there actually tornadoes sighted in the Raleigh area?
Not in Raleigh. We got a warning in Henderson, which is probably like an hour north of 95, headed y'all's way. Yeah. It's like very eerie outside though. It's like not the Monday quarantine morning weather you want to see. Like it's like over the horizon, like behind my house is like a bunch of trees and then the greenway, and you can sort of see the weather that's going to be coming from the east or the, you know, and it's very dark and scary.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the southeast got pummeled down like Mississippi, Louisiana. I think Alabama.
Yeah, that stuff was crazy. There was like two F5s in or like two F4s within like 5 miles of each other in down in Mississippi.
It's crazy. It's nuts. Well, you got to stay safe. By the way, what are your thoughts? I'm sure you heard the story or read it. What do you think about Dak Prescott having a 30-person dinner party at his house?
Yeah, maybe stay off social media. You can, like, I think Mike Florio actually called the cops on him.
That's possible.
Don't do that, anybody out there.
Right.
Self isolate, quarantine, stay away from other like large groups of people, and let's try and wrap this thing up.
Yeah, that's so annoying. All right, so let's go through your thinking on your mock draft from, I guess, 11 days or so ago. I wonder if your thinking has changed. You have the Redskins selecting Tua there. Obviously, you're not sold on Haskins. Is this just sort of an instinct thing for you, or do you have people telling you that this is something they might do? Go us through your thinking on that.
Well, I mean, there's a little bit of everything in there. I mean, I feel like they are not entirely sold on Haskins. You know, they traded a fifth-round pick from Kyle Allen. I will point out that so that was there's a lot of like behind the curtain, like dumb administrative stuff that goes into this. But really quickly, that mock draft was based on the live mock draft show that we did last Monday.
Okay.
And in fact, we have another one. I'm grading all the picks. We have another one coming up this today at noon on CBS Sports HQ that people can watch. It's going to be really insane because of certain people named Brady Quinn who made ridiculous trades. And the whole thing is a zoo. Like, I think the Dolphins, the Bengals actually traded out of, well, I don't want to spoil it, but anyway, tune in. It'll be insane. But last week I was trying to trade out of two, and we were on a conference call doing the picks, and Ryan Wilson, my colleague and friend, refused to trade up to two. I was like, just give me 5 and 26. I don't care. Just make me some kind of offer to come up to two and get two. He's like, I won't do it. I was like, fine, I'm going to take 2 at 2. He's like, this is my spite store. This is my Latte Larry's. And I took 2 at 2 anyway. And I kind of liked it. And I just think that, like, if you're Ron Rivera and you're in charge of turning the Redskins around, you know, in theory, in a vacuum, in any other scenario that doesn't involve Dan Snyder and, you know, a family friend or the kid of a family, you know, the family friend, the child of a family friend who's like, you know, now his quarterback, I feel like they would probably pull trigger on Tua if they were convinced his medicals were good, because this is a guy who was the top prospect in the entire draft coming into 2019. And, you know, he's a quarterback and you're only getting him at two because Joe Burrow had this incredible season. So I still like the idea. I get the sense that they probably will go defense just because it would create such an issue with the owner and the head coach, and because there are so many good defensive players here.
Will, right. You're a Carolina guy. Rivera.
Well, then
comes
you would
up.
Have to actually trade Haskins. You couldn't keep Haskins as a backup. Kyle Allen would have
exactly.
to stay there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Will Rivera.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. I was just gonna.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say Rivera
comes
up here.
No, your thoughts. Go ahead.
Well, Jason, you can't hear Cakes. Cakes is saying something. Go ahead, Cakes.
No. Will can go ahead. He can expand on that. It's fine.
Well, no, I was going to say, like, yeah, you would have a Josh Rosen situation on your hand. The big difference is that you don't know that Tua is healthy and can play right away. So you would potentially be trading Dwayne Haskins and then trotting out Kyle Allen very early on, which Ron Rivera has made clear that he's comfortable with. And then you run the risk of, if you execute that plan and you lose a ton of football games and the team looks terrible and Tua can't get on the field, you run the risk of just really getting things sideways out of the gate with your new regime.
So what kind of wake-up call do you think Redskins players are in for? Because you've been in Carolina for years. Ron Rivera comes up to D.C. from Carolina. Guys who are used to the Jay Gruden style of management, what sort of wake-up call are Skins players that are holdovers? What are they going to see with Rivera whenever they reassemble together?
Well, I mean, I think you're seeing it, right? Like, Ron Rivera is more than willing across, like, I like Jay Gruden a lot, but he is not Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera is, you know, his dad was in the military. He's tough. He's disciplined. You know, he played professional football at the highest level on defense at, like, the hardest nosed position. I mean, he is going to be a very different, like, he's not like a jerk. I mean, he's just a guy with a military background who also, you know, led a Super Bowl championship defense. And that's just how he sort of coaches. You know, he comes across, he's a player's coach to a large degree, in the sense that he's very approachable. And, you know, when you are one of his guys, you are set. But he is certainly, you know, he's not going to take a hands-off, laissez-faire approach to this. He is going to be very disciplined about it. And I think one of the things that you saw, it was just very notable to me, is as soon as Ron Rivera was hired, you know, he made wholesale changes with the training staff, and not just like the front office, but like across all football operations. And he wanted to get his people in there. And, you know, like, Tim, I don't want to knock, you know, anybody who lost a job like in the training room, but the Redskins hadn't been a healthy football team for 5 years. And the Carolina Panthers have been getting great seasons out of, like, Greg Olsen and Thomas Davis, guys who were, you know, were very ancient. And Thomas Davis is in Washington now. You know, Ryan Vermilion came in there as the training staff. Like, I just think there's going to be an order put in place, and you're going to have to fall in line with what Ron Rivera, how Ron Rivera wants it to operate and the culture he wants to exist, or else he'll ship you out for a fifth-round pick to Seattle.
Joined by Will Brinson, NFL insider for CBSSports.com. Just to circle back to your Latte Larry's thing, how good was Curb Your Enthusiasm this year on a scale of 1 to 10? I give it a 10 out of 10.
Oh, I give it a the only knock on it maybe would be the, I think it's the third episode, is the side sit. Or maybe it's the second, maybe it's the second episode. It was good. It was just a little like they came out the gate so strong, and then you're like, oh, it's just like maybe it's just the season opener. But then like after that, it was incredible. It's a 9.5 or a 10 for me. I agree. I think it was just one of the best seasons of Curb ever. And that's saying something maybe the greatest comedy show of all time. I mean, Larry David's like aging well and firing on all cylinders in season 10. I was incredibly impressed by it. I actually went back and watched the season finale last night. I'd fallen asleep originally during parts of it. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. it just delivers. Like the whole thing just delivers. And you feel very complete. Like he wraps everything up and yet totally awkward the entire way.
Will, you know, you said that in your mock draft that I guess you guys are having broadcast here shortly, that Brady Quinn went crazy, made some trades. Do you actually see that happening in the first 7 or 8 picks? Or do you see any blockbusters happening?
I think if Washington is going to trade out, that they will do it before the draft. And I would actually guess that it happens if you look at what happened with the Mariota and Winston draft with the Rams. The Rams weren't involved in that. Not with Mariota and Winston, with Goff and Wentz. My son woke me up in the middle of the night to tell me that the sound machine wasn't working and the power went off. And I have quarantine brain. If you look at the Goff and Wentz thing, like it was, I think, like April 11th or something in that range, a week or so before, 2 weeks or so before, and these are different times, so you expect maybe a little bit of a delay. But I would think that if the Redskins are going to trade out of that pick, that it would happen, if not this week, then early next week. Because to me, if you're at number two, I get what the Dolphins are doing, and I think I get what the Dolphins are doing. Like they are, the Miami Herald keeps reporting just how bad Tua's injury history is, but it's not like it's sourced. It's like I don't want to rip him, but like Amanda Salguero wrote an article. It's like, look at his completely verified and unassailable injury history as reported by Forbes.com. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you linking to Forbes for on Tua's injury history? What are we doing here? It feels like there is a full court press out of Miami to hurt Tua's draft stock. And either the Dolphins are doing that because they're trying to convince their fans that they don't want Tua, so nobody riots when they don't take Tua, they take Herbert instead. Or the more likely scenario is they're trying to minimize what they have to pay to move up and get Tua. I mean, it's a little bit of a Val Dolph protest too much situation for me. It just feels very obvious and transparent. So I wonder how long the Dolphins would continue to lowball Washington, or if they can make an offer before the draft to move up. I just think if you're Washington, you'd be willing to move once you're on the clock for sure. But it makes so much more sense, given that nobody can be in the same room, to hammer out a deal to get out of two before the draft. Like, you don't need to be dealing with the minutia of a draft day trade and you have to take calls. Rivera's calling Kyle Smith and then they're getting on the horn with Dan Snyder, and then they're making a call to the Dolphins to try and iron out which picks are swapping back in the sixth round.
Right.
And then they got to do something where they call the league and get it in. It makes so much more sense for them to get a deal done before the draft if they're going to do it.
You don't want to make a Zoom trade. I mean, there's a lot of plate spinning there.
Yeah, absolutely. All of a sudden you're like, this moron thinks he's going to give us a second. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, Chris Greer. I clicked on the wrong link there. I apologize. That's actually you. You are the moron I'm talking about. But, I mean, like, I think, Detroit wants to move. And then, conversely, if Detroit wants to move out, people are like, well, what if they trade before the draft? They can't trade until Washington trades. Because no one in their right mind would trade it to number three and just assume Washington will stay put. Then you've set the price for somebody to move up to two. So I think Detroit has to be on the clock once you actually get to three, and then Washington is more likely to be before the draft. So to me, there might not be that much action in terms of trades in the first 7 picks, depending on what we get before the draft and what happens with Detroit there.
Will, if you're a betting man, where do you bet that Cam Newton ends up?
It is hard to guess. I really feel like the Chargers are – are just going to go with Tyrod at this point and maybe draft somebody, but maybe just add to the defense and roll with Tyrod Taylor and Easton Stick, which when you say out loud doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. If the Redskins stick with Dwayne Haskins, I don't see how they can bring in Cam because that's just too much of a threat to Haskins, you know, at his age and where he is in his career. Doesn't feel like it's a Bill Belichick landing spot. So, I mean, I'll say Miami. I don't know. I mean, I think it is impossible to guess where Cam goes just because of, you know, people have to give him this physical. It's certainly going to be after the draft, maybe well into June. He doesn't want to take a spot where he has to, you know, sit on the bench. Like, he doesn't want to be a backup, so he's not going to be anywhere like Pittsburgh. It is really tough to peg a landing spot for Cam Newton. So I will just say Miami because I have no other better real answer.
Yeah, all right. Maybe a Jacksonville too.
But. Jacksonville could work. And again, like, the problem with Cam is he wants to start or at least compete to start. And so it's like, you know, if you're rolling with Gardner Minshew, if you're rolling with Dwayne Haskins, and you want to give them the confidence to be a starter, do you want to bring in somebody like Cam who could potentially just, you know, take, I mean, look, you want to win, so who cares? But it's a little tricky with those younger quarterbacks.
All right,
Will. Appreciate the time.
We'd love to have you on for more, but we're up against a break. Thank you, buddy.
No, you guys are great. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, okay. Will. Hunker down there in Carolina.
Thanks, pal.
Plus, we got to work out the technical aspect. Apparently, some people can't hear each other.
Jason, who can you hear now?
I can hear you and JP and
just
the
not
stage.
Hear boy
I
flakes.
Cannot hear Cakes.
Oh, can't hear Cakes.
We're losing communication. This is tragic.
Cakes, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe it's on my end.
I think all you have to do, sometimes this happens, is if you both reset, I think it'll be fine.
We'll reconnect.
All right, we'll work it out.
Yeah. And I got to poop.
Oh, thanks for telling me.
But you never do that during the show.
That only happens 3 or 4 times a year.
Wow. At home, it's fine.
You should have placed a lot of money on that.
Oh, I wish I could have found a bookie. I know a bookie.
All right, can I go already, please?
Yes, Ricky, go. Go.
All right, we'll come back. We'll open up the phone lines again, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington this Monday morning. Remember, you miss any part of the show, you can always rewind on the radio.com app. Right now, phone lines are open at 800-636-1067. Just got through talking to Will Brinson about some of the draft possibilities for the Redskins. Do they stay at 2? Do they draft Tua? Do they draft Chase Young? Do they make a deal? You certainly can chime in on that. Sneak in a couple phone calls here, EB.
All right, let's go to James in Reston. Hey, James, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up, man?
All right, what's up, man?
I just first want to say to the guy who's slouching with the Washington Nationals hat, way to keep it real, bud. That's awesome. That's the way I sit at my desk all day.
So he's praising your bad posture.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. My chair is so worn out, I couldn't even sit up straight in this thing if I wanted to.
There you go. Okay, hey, I got an issue that maybe you guys can help with.
All right.
So last year when the Nationals were tearing it up, right, going to World Series, the only way I could get tickets to the series was to buy season tickets, right? So I bought like a half plan or whatever. And so I actually got on their pay-as-you-go program. You know, you pay like eight months in a row, like $300 or something.
Yeah.
And, like, now I have no confidence that the season is going to get played at all. And I'm wondering, they're still charging my credit card as we go on. And I'm just wondering what you guys think, if I'll ever get any money back for games not played or anything like that.
Dude, why are you so out of breath?
Yeah, are you running or walking?
I'm walking my dogs as we speak, yeah.
Man, that's a vigorous walk.
You might want to keep doing it. You sound like you need to be in shape.
I don't know the answer to your
question. Build up the endurance.
Yeah. But I would assume the Nats would just reimburse you if there's no season.
I think they'll probably credit you for next year.
Oh, maybe they'll do that.
That's my guess.
See, originally, I thought they might reimburse me, but then I sort of agree with you. I think they're going to say, oh, it's just going towards next year.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I've called the guy, the rep, a couple times, but they're being kind of mum about it with no real.
They want their money.
Here's the thing. I do think, look, we can't continue like this, even though people are dying. We can't continue with this forever. We're going to have to slowly bring people back to work. The leagues, you know, I've been reading articles about it. They're going to be at the forefront of this. They really are, because they're, especially with large gatherings, they're going to be kind of the model for how we do these things. And I think they're going to start out probably with no fans, and then they're going to transition into like maybe two seats apart. I was reading that, and you know, the lines and concessions, that's going to be different. Everything's going to be different. There's going to be, they said they were throwing out there, hand sanitizer everywhere in these indoor arenas, temperature checks to get in, and wearing masks. Like, until we get this thing under control, which may not be 18 months away, that's what it's going to be. It's not, when they say get back to normal, it's a new normal. But I do think that there's a chance that we could have a season, but it's going to be bizarre.
Yeah, really bizarre.
It's going to be, you're wearing a mask if you go to the game. It's going to be hand sanitizer everywhere. Don't be surprised if they don't take your temperature when you walk in. You're going to have limited concessions options.
By the way, I think the PGA Tour can be at the forefront of this.
I agree.
Because they don't necessarily need the fans like these other sports do.
Totally agree.
So I think once the PGA Tour, you know, is up and running again, whatever schedule they come up with here starting in May or June, I think you'll see the other leagues follow. Now, it'll be a lot different watching the NHL playoffs without fans, but if that's the way they have to go just to get the TV, you know, the games back on TV, then they'll do that. But I think the PGA Tour can be the first league to do it.
Yeah. I think they could do it sooner rather than later, frankly. The PGA Tour could get out there because these guys, they could do it in foursomes. They could get these guys tested. We just need the testing to be more ubiquitous. They need to get more and more of these out there. And I get it. It's hard, you know, to just all of a sudden snap your fingers and have, you know, 300 million tests available. It just doesn't – life doesn't work like that. But as soon as these tests become available, I think the PGA Tour will probably be the first one out there.
So you guys are golf guys. I've always said tennis. Like, I'm surprised that you haven't seen some exhibition matches maybe between Nadal and Federer.
That might be one of the first things to
come back
to.
You could do it if you test each other, if they're all tested. Right. But without testing, you really can't.
No, no. Obviously, you have to have some testing, but it's just less people involved.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get – I mean, they already have basically the lines, right? Or you can have, like, robot judges.
Yep, you can eliminate the ball boys and the ball girls. Yeah. That's just a luxury. Yeah.
Or you can do like you guys did when you were on the tennis ladder.
Can you imagine Nadal getting his own balls? I can't even imagine that.
You know what? At some point, you have to sacrifice EB.
Okay,
God forbid.
Hold on. That would be terrible TV. I got to watch Nadal go walk over and get a ball?
Well, if you're looking to limit the spread of the virus, you get rid of the
eight
ball boys.
I test the ball kids and get them out there, too.
Yeah, why can't the ball boys just wear gloves?
You got to have ball boys. It would just be ponderous.
You don't have to have them. It's such a luxury.
Those guys are good enough. It's not like it's going to take forever. It's not like they're going to have a bunch of balls by the net.
No, but every point's going to end with a ball somewhere.
All right, and so you limit the ball, one or two, instead of having like,
I mean,
like an
can
army
you imagine,
of them.
Cakes.
You got to have ball
Let's just
boys.
Say Nadal serves into the net. He's going to have to walk up to the net to get the ball out of the way.
It'd be ponderous. You can't.
What does that take, 5 seconds?
You don't have to get it out of the way. Come on.
You know what?
Play with it on the court.
World class
oh, really?
Players.
You think he's going to risk stepping on the ball and breaking his ankle?
Definitely not going to do that.
Yeah. You got to have ball. I'm sorry. You got to have ball boys.
I agree.
You got that ball boys.
I mean, even a number like me would not play with a ball on the court when I was 15 years old.
Either way, it's easier to me to figure that out than even golf.
I think golf would be easy.
Golf would be easy,
easy, though, because there's literally no contact between people.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's your own ball.
Are
you
what about getting caddies? The sticks out of the bag? That's
well,
contact.
Carrying their own bags.
You could have them drive their own carts.
Or they could be, they could have their own carts.
And it could, you know.
That works for me.
A caddy could drive the cart.
You know, what am I talking about?
Tell them the yardage and stuff, and then they pull their own club.
I don't watch golf.
Or the caddies be tested.
I don't watch that horrible sport.
Yeah, but I think you would watch it if it was the only thing out there.
Oh,
if
it was the only thing offered, yes.
Of course you would watch. You're telling me you don't watch, Cakes, even though you hate golf, you watch the majors.
Yeah, intermittently.
Cakes, you're in golf pools.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I watch it. Look at my results in the golf pools. You think I watch a lot of golf?
Well, it's gambling. You would watch it. I guarantee it.
Of course I would.
If it was that or Naked and Afraid, you're watching golf.
Oh, yeah. Naked and Afraid for me was a one-and-doneer. One episode, and I'm out.
Well, I'm still trying. I still want to do the viewing party. We got to do it. All right, let's go, because I got to get Jason. That's the only way I'm going to get Jason on it. Let's go to Kevin and see if he's still there. Kevin on line three, Silver Spring. Kevin, what's up, buddy? Kevin, are you there? Says
yes,
he's lost 18 pounds? What?
18 pounds, yes. I stopped watching MSNBC in the morning and started watching you guys. I used to drive my kids to St. John's.
Right.
Very good.
Every morning and listen to you guys.
Right.
And, you know, the Johnny Mop kids.
How'd you lose the weight, though?
Well, instead of eating, I was watching you guys.
So you just stopped eating?
So were you, when you were dropping off your kids, were you stopping at, like, fast food to pick up breakfast?
A long time ago, when you guys first started, I'd drive my kids to school. That's how I started listening to you guys.
Okay, but what Eric's getting at is, how did you lose the 18 pounds in the last month or so?
Well, I just stopped watching MSNBC in the morning.
Yeah, but that doesn't help you lose weight. That still makes no sense.
How is watching us different than watching another program?
Very simple. I stopped eating in the morning.
Hmm. Okay. Right, so maybe,
so you're fasting.
Are you watching us in a different location than you were the other things?
No, I'm still in my living room.
I'm confused.
So Morning Joe made you eat.
Basically, what you're saying is, confused.
What he's saying is, when he was watching Morning Joe on MSNBC,
Morning Joe makes you fat.
You were pounding a lot of food, yes. And when you watch The Junkies, you're entertained, so you don't pound a lot of food. Are you exercising more? Are you going on walks?
Well, I go out in my yard now after you're done, and I, you know, do the grass and everything else. But Morning Joe made me just depressed. I mean, EB makes me laugh because he's, you know, off the wall.
There you go, EB. You helped the guy lose 18
You're
miles.
Off the wall,
EB. Doesn't make total sense.
Give me one thing off the wall that I've said.
Only one?
Yeah. Let's start with one.
There's
a
laundry list.
Let's pinpoint it.
Yeah.
There you go, a laundry list.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, listen, God bless you. If you've lost 18 pounds, you, Jason, and JP, the only three guys I know that have lost weight.
Yeah, congrats on the world's weirdest weight loss bit.
Yeah.
Congrats to you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. I still don't get that.
Hard time tracking with that one.
He's saying is being depressed. He was sort of depressed eating, watching the news versus watching us and trying to be maybe a little bit more positive.
Well, I guess the big fatty was just fasting, and so he wasn't eating for a certain amount of hours in the morning, so maybe he started eating at lunch. I could see him losing weight that way.
I think if you strip all the nonsense away, and it was a lot of nonsense in that call, he's eating less and exercising more.
Well, I am not fasting.
That's a pretty
this
simple
morning.
Formula.
I'm having a leftover pancake that my daughter made yesterday for Easter brunch, and I'm wrapping two slices of bacon in it, and it's delicious. It's fantastic.
You're making your own McGriddle.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's so good, too.
I saw a depressing stat. Now, I know that we're guys, and guys die first. And what is the average life expectancy for a human? What is
around
it like?
78 for guys.
78, so maybe for a guy, it's a little less. That, you know, I do have the goal to live to 100.
Mm-hmm.
That is the goal, right? I mean, I'd love to live to 100. It'd be great. And if Cakes doesn't, Cakes wants to donk off before that. I want to live as long as I can, even if I can only move my nostrils. I'm sized.
What's the odds of living 1%?
It's way less than that.
-800.
I think it's 2... In 10, so 1 in 5,000
get to 100.
Live to 100.
Oh, those odds are hard to.
1 in 5,000.
Yeah.
You're never
going
to get there.
All right.
You're never going to get there.
Haven't you seen people that are like 90 plus? They don't look great for the most part.
Yeah, but my mom is in her 80s.
There are some outliers, of course. But most 90 plus year olds.
Agreed.
It doesn't look great to me.
The dirt nap. The dirt nap is the worst.
I don't know.
You don't know what's on the other side.
Might not be terrible at that point.
I don't think it's that silly. I want it to be just got like Augusta National, but I don't think it is.
I honestly can't wait till we're 70. Should we all make it to 70? And we tell Cakes, you got to shut down the driving.
I can wait.
There's no chance he's going to do
wait.
That.
Oh, yeah. I would love for
There's
somebody.
There's no chance you shut down driving when you're 70, Cakes.
I would love for somebody to Uber me around when I was 70 years
Listen,
old.
Listen, I could see Cakes. Cakes is going to prematurely move into a retirement community. I could see Cakes prematurely move in, you know, like in his 60s. Just go, you know what?
I don't see that.
What's the one that's right near your house?
Leisure World.
Yeah, he's
also known
be
as
Leisure
Seizure
World.
World.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be there.
Yeah. I can see him be able to be the first one that moves in.
I joked
with my wife, though. There's a 55-plus community here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just 5 years away from that, and you can get a good price for a house on 55-plus.
Yeah, it's
I don't think they call
one story, Blicky.
They call it like an active community or something
yeah,
like
no
that.
No stairs.
Yeah.
Zippy stairs.
I'm staying away from that. Now, I'll never go to one now. Those guys are all sitting ducks for these friggin' viruses that come every 2 years now.
Right, you need to be isolated.
No chance I'm going to hang out with a bunch of sickly old people. Zippy chance.
Stay right there in your basement.
I'm staying right here in my basement.
Slouched in your chair.
Dodging a corona.
Right. Having a corona, dodging
sinking
a corona.
The corona can't get you because you're slouched into your chair. It's going to eat you alive.
Exactly. All right, when we come back, we can bang out a few more calls. We'll do the EP at 9, I think. And then yep. We've got Barry's Feluga. He's going to join us at 9:20. Don't go anywhere.
Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're going to get back into the Redskins in the 9 o'clock hour with Barry Zvirluga from the Washington Post. But right now, phone lines are open at 800-636-1067. Should we go to Anna?
Absolutely. Anna's our golf geek. I'm sure she was all over watching the Masters yesterday, the replay of the 2019 Masters and Tigers win. Anna, good morning.
Good morning, boys.
What's up?
How are you?
Hi. So that was the best product CBS could have put out yesterday with Tiger kind of doing the play-by-play with Jim Nance. Was that not awesome?
You know,
yeah, it was pretty cool. It was different.
I didn't Very watch different. It. Jason watched it. I'm still so angry that it's not on. I understand why it's not.
It's very depressing.
I felt like it was just going to make me pissed. I don't know. So I didn't watch it, but I bet I missed a good – was Tiger, like, was he being a douche or was he being cool?
No, he was being cool.
He was
being super cool. Yeah. He was, like, in this kind of, like – they said live from his house, and he was, like, in this golf lab. Like, it looked like this, like, golf
like his putting bunker. Studio, I heard.
Yes.
Yeah, it was crazy. So he looked like he was in a spaceship, but it was super cool to hear about, like – he would say, tell me what your thought was about this and what about this approach. And then at the end where they had all the emotion of, you know, his little boy running up and giving him a big hug and making the analogy of him hugging his dad and now as the father hugging his son and him saying, you know, that was amazing. But look, my mom was there for both tournaments. She kind of doesn't get a lot of play with this, but she was there however many years ago and she was there again, you know, that time and how special that was. So it was really cool to hear what he had to say.
Right. Well, give me some nuggets. Like, I heard one nugget that got a lot of attention. He said that he's had 20 hole-in-ones in his career. 19 of them, Jason, before the age of 25. Think about that. So he's 24 years old and he has 19 hole-in-ones. And then he said during the period when he was at his peak of his powers, he had no hole-in-ones. And then I think he had one recently.
Yeah, it's just random. I mean, those are just random. The one nugget I got was when they were on 12, you know, the par three over the water, and he kept calling Molinari Franny or Fran.
I hate his nicknames. They're so forced.
He calls them, I know. So
Molinari tries to make it seem like they're his buddies. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So Molinari hit it in the water, and then he said, all right, well, he knew he was probably going to double that, so he just aimed left of the green. He wasn't going for the pin, whereas if Molinari's on the green, he's probably going more at the pin. So he just aimed to the left side of the green, even though that was going to be a tough, you know, two-putt. He ended up two-putting it, parring it. Molinari doubled it, and that's when he ended up tying for the lead. Finau hit it in the water there, too. So both Molinari and Finau both hit it in the water on 12.
I think I had Molinari on a 40-1 ticket. I was so bitter. I was so salty.
But Molinari actually
–
Molinari actually birdied, well, I don't know if it was 13 or 15, but he got it back to 12. So he had got it back to tying for the lead. But then, you know, he pooped the bed the rest of the way. But I don't know. There were a few nuggets there. But he did get a little emotional.
Yeah. And the one that was interesting to me is I haven't heard him talk as much about his caddy as he did yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that his caddy, I mean, not just a caddy, but a friend. And he had said that he would be in Florida with him and like when he couldn't drive because of his pill addiction, the caddy would drive him to like his kids' soccer games because he's like, otherwise I wouldn't been able to go, you know, because I couldn't drive myself and my caddy was there for me. And that caddy relationship, I didn't understand when I nannied, the golfer I nannied for had the same caddy forever. And I didn't realize that that was a rarity, right? That these guys can kind of run through caddies a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And to see that relationship and for Tiger to have that now with somebody that he like truly trusts on a personal level and professionally, I think that's a big part of what's making him kind of hit on all cylinders lately.
Yeah. Joe LaCava is the guy. And sometimes I wonder, like, when these stories, I mean, I'm sure it's true, but I wonder how close Tiger is to him in real life. But Joe LaCava, I've heard him interviewed many, many times. We should get him on the show at some point, actually, because he's a great storyteller. He's a huge, I think, Yankees fan.
Yeah, he's a New Yorker, right?
He'd
I think
be
he's
fantastic.
A big Giants fan, maybe.
Yeah. You know, that actually would be a great booking. Maybe something Valdez can keep in the back of his mind. All right, so how have you been doing with the quarantine, Anna?
Yeah, you know, we're hanging in. I turned 40 on March 16th, and we snuck in a quick trip to the Bahamas and back. And I think if we hadn't been able to do that, it was just kind of on the cusp of it when things were kind of starting to go sideways. We got in, we got out, and we were back on that Monday the 16th when things shut down. So I think if we hadn't had a chance to, like, get out and be able to do that, I think it would be really bad. But we're making it through. My husband still goes to work. I have a six-year-old, so I'm running a first-grade classroom, and we're getting by like everybody else.
So you have just one kid?
Yeah, a first grader.
Yeah. So it's a handful when they're that young.
Anna, where did you stay in the Bahamas?
Bahamar, baby. It's amazing there.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Big money.
I tweeted a couple pictures, you can see, but we had the best time. My husband treated us, a couple of our friends. There were us and three other couples. One couple chose not to go. They have an infant, and I mean, I get it. They just didn't want to roll the dice with worried about not being able to get back if we left.
Right.
So there were eight of us that went, and we had the best time. We did the cabana, the pool party. DJ Pauly D was supposed to be there, but of course with the coronavirus he didn't.
Oh, he bailed.
He didn't show up.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, so, I'm glad you guys made it back safely and everyone's
Thank
healthy.
You boys.
All right, we'll talk to you.
Thanks
you
for calling, Anna.
Okay. And Drabby, can you hear me? I don't know if Drabby's still on the line. Anna always, she always posts, you know, hot picks on Twitter, right? Has she done that lately? She did? Oh, she does?
She does.
What's her daggone name on Twitter? Shady. All right. I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Is there any chance, like, her and her husband are swingers? Like, or what do you think? She does.
It's quite a leap, by the way.
What?
It just all of a sudden he goes right to the swinger card.
Well, I mean, she's posting these thirsty pics all the time. And she calls herself Shady Lady Cakes.
Yeah, there might be some evidence there.
I mean, maybe. Just went on a couple's trip.
Right.
Who knows what was going on there? Oh, is that why?
Yeah, right near Pedro. You think Pedro's a swinger too?
No, I know Pedro's not. I think he'd like to be, though.
He might want to.
I know Pete. All right, let's go to Aaron in D.C. real quick. Aaron, what's up, buddy? Going with the Junkies.
What's up, baby?
Hey.
What's up?
What's up, brother?
Hey, man.
Hey, listen, man. Y'all know I love y'all. Listen, this is strange days and times, man. This COVID-19 has taken the world by storm, and it's got a hold on our minds.
Oh, this is Blink. It's not Aaron. This is Blink.
listen. This COVID-19 has taken the world by storm, and it's got a hold on our minds. You know what I'm saying? Hey, but look, put a hand in the air one time for the lost ones that we lost one time. Now keep them there for the essential workers on the front line. But right here is the time for mankind to shine. Love, brother. Hey, listen. Man, I'm going to tell you what. If it was me, if it's Beyonce and Jay-Z, I might coach on white folks to swing, baby. I'm just saying.
Well, hold on. What did he say, Cakes?
I'm lost.
Something about Beyonce and Jay-Z and swing.
Blink, how do you pay your bills? I know I've asked you this before.
I ask him every time.
How does he pay his bills?
If it was EB and his old lady, would like when they be in that car cam commercial. I'd be like, oh, I might go over the cream and the crackers, Oreo. Yeah. Okay.
The Comcast commercial.
Right. Blink.
But you ain't seen me in the Comcast commercial, did y'all?
That's his real wife, by the way, in the commercial.
I mean, my real wife, I'm talking about too. My real wife, fantastic. Have y'all seen
I don't think you can hear me.
No, he's not listening either.
I don't think you can hear me.
Hey,
my real
Blink.
Wife is fantastic.
See, Darius doesn't know the voice.
Thank you, Darius. Just let him go. Thank you. Oh, my God.
Now he's using fake names to get through.
Yeah. All right, you want to do one more? Go to Ron in Hagerstown?
Sure.
Line
yeah,
two. Ron, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for being on, man. Love listening to you guys.
Of course. Thanks, man.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just talking about losing weight, and I feel for some of you guys that don't go to work every day, because I would eat probably something crummy for breakfast and eat a big lunch.
I'm fixing
for stuff. I'm losing weight, but also I'm not going to gym, so I know I'm losing muscle weight.
Right.
Yeah. That's not cool. I mean, I'm looking better, but I'm looking thin. I'm not looking all swole like Valdez, but...
I said that earlier. I mean, I'm not a swole guy like Valdez, but I would lift 3-4 days a week. And my guess is I've lost some weight just losing muscle weight, because muscle weighs more than fat, is what they say.
Yeah, for sure. So you could do like push-ups and stuff like that, body weight stuff. You're not into that?
Well, the worst thing is I got some stuff down the basement. I got some crowbars, some kettlebells. It's just the motivation's not there. That's the problem. Yeah. It's just everything's changed emotionally. Yeah. This whole time emotionally is going to be huge. I mean, the care workers, the PTSD is going to be huge for all these nurses and doctors that are dealing with this. This is going to be like post 9/11 and even worse, because it's so lengthy.
Well, and the economic impact, I mean, is devastating. It is devastating. I mean, what's happening here? I mean, this is clearly the worst thing that's happened to our economy since the Great Depression. And think about how many years it took to come back from that. I mean, this is just unbelievable what's happening. All right, thank you. Thank you, Ron. Hang in there, buddy.
Love you.
Yeah, I love you too, man. Hang in there, pal. Mm. All right, you want to get into the EP when we come back?
What's your lead?
Hollywood Entertainment? I haven't even looked at it yet. I haven't even looked at it.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't been that motivated, Jason. Yeah. To be honest with you. Not that much entertaining going on. But we'll get into the EP. We'll get into some stories. I don't know. I saw Valdez sent me a couple. They were so entertaining, I didn't even remember them.
Well, you don't remember much.
Yeah.
That's just not very different.
It's that time of year. All right, when we come back, we'll get into the EP. And then we have Barry Svaluga from Washington Post at 9:20.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.